Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. This is a Mets day. We'll get back to the fan reaction coming up in just a minute or two as they are headed to Milwaukee and, well, hopefully they're already getting ready for the game tonight in the wild card series against the Brewers. But I thought it would happen. I figured it would happen as soon as you said some of the stuff you did yesterday at 6 a.m. about the Jets and Robert Saleh, that would get picked up by some other media outlets. It certainly was. The video that we posted got lots of views and reaction talking about there being a massive issue between Rob Saleh and Aaron Rodgers and how you have been in a position similar to what you believe Aaron Rodgers is in now, where you are a quarterback that's had a lot of experience, a veteran who is playing for a guy that you don't respect. So because Aaron Rodgers speaks almost every day and also has the spot on Pat McAfee, I am sure that he's going to be asked about this today at some point, especially with the McAfee show where they ask him just about everything and aren't afraid to ask him anything. So my guess is this, just my educated guess, is that he'll be asked the question and then he'll make some sort of remark about how you are getting into his head or know what he's thinking by his body language and say that that's ridiculous. That's what I think he's going to say. Because that just fits sort of like his script, like, oh, now I got people, you know, read my body language. And
body language is a big thing, you know, for all of us. And, you know, you asked me to speculate on this yesterday.
I did speculate.
And I looked and I've seen and I've watched and I've listened just like every Jet fan has, just like every local reporter has. And, you know, you got to be absolutely blind to think otherwise. And, you know, a good leader like Aaron is, he'll diffuse it as best he can, I'm sure. He's not going to go on Pat McAfee and say, oh, yeah, you know, I got a problem with my head coach. But there are certain frustrations that go on. And the one thing that Aaron has going for him, at least I think, that is his most important coach to him anyway, is going to be his offense coordinator and really good friend, Nathaniel Hackett. So he'll always have a place to go and just shoot the crap and blow off steam, and Nathaniel will probably listen to it. I had a guy like that. His name was Walt Harris, who was my quarterback coach for 2 years.
I know Walt Harris.
I remember Walt from Pittsburgh because he became the head coach at the University of Pittsburgh. I think Larry Fitzgerald was there with him, right?
Yep.
So I loved Walt as a quarterback coach. I thought he was a terrific guy, and I loved him for 2 years. And if I had a problem with anything that was going on around me or any whatever, I could go in there and just blow off steam to him. And he really understood me as a player. So you have that going for Aaron Rodgers, that he's got a guy in there that, you know, he can count on and he can trust and he can talk to. But, you know, you don't have to be, an expert to see that there are there's a strained relationship there. Now, whether it goes back to the whole minicamp fiasco with Aaron going to Egypt and Rob Saleh saying it's an unexcused absence and then fumbling that whole thing and then coming back and saying, well, we kind of knew he was going when everybody in the building knew that he was not going to be there. And everybody in the building also knew that he was working his ass off trying to come back from his Achilles. And I think that when you lose a game, that there are going to be frustrations, and frustrations are going to be evident to everybody watching that game. They're 2-2. The season's not over by any stretch of the imagination. We have a long way to go. And, you know, yet, you know, on Sunday, he took a lot of hits. There were mistakes around him that were being made. I'm sure he made a number of mistakes. He also said that there were a couple throws he wish he could have had back because those were on him. So he held himself accountable. But then comes the whole discussion about his snap count.
Yes, which was another thing where Rob Saleh puts his foot in his mouth when he doesn't have to. You know what was amazing about that whole, that whole unexcused absence comment from Rob Saleh is they, he did that because he wanted to show that Aaron Rodgers wasn't running the organization, because that was last year's narrative, that Aaron Rodgers was in charge of everything and nobody had any power and Rob Saleh didn't have any balls. So Rob Saleh, even knowing Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be there, comes out and says, well, it's an unexcused absence, and tries to be Mr. Tough Guy, and that ends up blowing up in his face. So he's trying to appease the media and the fan base, trying to show that he's in charge when really ends up doing more damage. And Rob Saleh didn't need to say, dial back the cadence. And, like, you got to understand who your quarterback is, man. You know that he's going to hear that and be pissed off.
And he's going to be asked a direct question right after you say that, literally on the same day that they just came off the field and played a horrendous football game.
He's got to know. And this is exactly what we talked to him about at training camp. It's just, he just says one more thing that he doesn't need to say that creates some sort of nonsense. And he did it again. I mean, you know, Brian Daboll, how many times? All right, the Daniel Jones questions. Remember the Daniel Jones questions?
100%, yes.
Are you thinking about bringing another quarterback? No. Are you thinking about sitting Daniel? No. Is Daniel your quarterback? Yes.
And how about what he said after the Cowboy game? I'm proud of my quarterback. You know, he jumped out in front of it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of the way he's played the last three games. He's really playing well. You know, he's given us a winning performance. I mean, like, he's saying all the...
About Daniel Jones?
Yes, and he's because he's trying to, you know, cut it off at the pass, and I think he's doing a great job handling that. Now, whether or not the team starts to win, that's a whole other story for the Giants, because there are other things that are going on there, too. But to go back to Aaron, I mean, look, he didn't have time for all the crap. You know what? Like, he's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously smarter than everybody else.
Well, he's at least smarter than Rob Saleh.
Right, well, or he thinks he is. But yeah. And you got to remember, he forced himself to come here. Like, the Jets went out to meet him in California. They sat down. Do you really want to come here? He took less money to come here. He had to get himself out of Green Bay somehow. And so he came here. So therefore, the guys that are here, whether it be Rob Saleh, Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, they all owe him something for coming here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when he gets hurt last year, and he says he feels terrible because he feels like he let everybody down, does the whole Netflix documentary, comes back, tries to practice at the end of last year to show everybody that he's going to be committed for this year. And he's dealt with a number of different things already this year, from the Egypt trip to missing, you know, unexcused absence, to now we have to dial back the snap count, everything else. I mean, he's probably saying, what am I doing? I feel like I'm in a twilight zone.
Yeah, and when he put the towel over his head, maybe some of those thoughts were going
through. Hey, I put the towel over my head, too.
Yeah,
so I know what that feeling feels like.
Yeah, welcome to the
club. And listen, everything that I'm saying is from my own experiences and watching it.
Yeah.
Like, this is like some BS hot take. This is what I see. This is what I get, the feeling that they're not even talking during the game. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Then you put that whole push and shove thing away. I mean, that goes into this whole discussion. And that's when they were winning.
Right. I actually don't think that part of it, I don't think, is a big deal. I do think that he still holds a grudge from the unexcused absence. And I do think he was annoyed by the snap count thing. And I do agree with you that they have no direct communication during the game Rob Saleh being a cheerleader.
I can't believe that but this is what losing does. If you lose one game, and you play poorly in that game, and you scored 9 effing points.
Against a team you should have beaten, against a rookie quarterback in your building.
Less than 100 yards.
It was a terrible loss. I mean, just miserable.
And by the way, as a Jet quarterback, I've been a part of losses like that. So yeah. I know what it feels like. It feels like crap. And the last thing you want to do is discuss your snap count.
Right, because your head coach put that out there.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to Dan in Mount Olive. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, boys? Good morning. How are we?
We're doing great, Dan. What do you got for us?
So I know you guys are talking about football right now, but I just wanted to circle back from yesterday's show. The only thing that's going to make this day better with that Mets win is to hear about Boomer's confrontation meeting with Ja Rule and if there was any awkwardness to that.
Yeah, so...
No, there was no confrontation. There was no awkwardness. Unfortunately, Ja Rule missed his flight.
Yeah, missed his flight wasn't there. So after all of that, you know, I got word he was going to be there.
I was all pumped up too, man.
His name was on one of the carts. And he missed his flight. So that whole interaction that we could have had with Boomer and Ja Rule just went up in smoke. So
I was ready to go, though. As I pulled up, I saw your buddy Frank. I saw your buddy Frank,
yeah,
the general manager over there. First thing I asked him, where's my man Ja? And he goes, he missed his flight. I said, oh, man.
I know. What a letdown. What a bummer. Let's go to Jerry in Landing, New Jersey. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning, big time Mets fan. How are you guys?
Hi, Jerry. What's happening?
So, a couple things. First of all, I know either way the result is the same. We're in the playoffs and all, but I'm so glad it was the first game because in the second game, there would have been that little reasonable doubt, in my opinion, that, well, the Atlanta Braves didn't play their top-tier players. They didn't play, all that stuff, their utility players. So I'm glad it was the first game because the pressure was on. It's the best going against the best, and I think it'll help us more going into Milwaukee. But here's my question for you then. Who's going to be the closer in today's game if it's a tight game? Obviously, it's not Diaz, and I'm sort of glad about that. But who do you think it's going to be?
Jose Buto.
Yeah, we think Buto, Stanek will be in there. You know, yeah. I mean, and hopefully Severino gives you a good, solid seven innings, and hopefully the Mets have the lead.
Yeah, this is
a big lead again.
This is what you'd love to do. You see Severino, right. If you could draw up a plan and a blueprint, it would be Severino for seven, and you hand the ball over to Buto for eight and nine.
Yes.
But here's my concern, though. Buto hasn't pitched in a while.
Yeah.
At least that I know. So I'm nervous that by not pitching for a while, that he's going to be tight.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, this is what happens when you don't win your division. These are the things that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
This is why you have to go on the road, you know, and when this thing first started, it used to be one game.
And Stanek is obvious. He was ready to go for the ninth yesterday, and they elected to bring Diaz back out. So he's obviously an option because he didn't pitch. So he warmed up. He had a dry hump is what they call those. You know, when you're up and you don't get in the game.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, Mickey Callaway told us that when he was here, which is...
Oh, I totally forgot that.
Yeah, the dry hump.
We had one of those happen in here yesterday at the watch party.
Yeah, I don't know how dry that one was, but yeah.
Between Evan and Lugauer.
Lugie! Yep, those guys were having one hell of a time there in that performance space.
Yes.
Good for them, huh?
They were putting on a performance.
Joe in Basking Ridge. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning on this glorious day, gentlemen.
What's happening, good morning. What's going on?
Oh, everything is good. A couple of points, if I can. But before I do, in defense of you, Gio, I don't know what the hell some of these people are hearing in the morning. You came on the damn show. You said, I admit, in May, I thought this team had nothing. They're not going anywhere. Like, you didn't say, I told you so, everybody, damn it, this team is going to win.
Yeah,
what are people
you,
watching? I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone these days.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, we've said many times, Joe, people hear what they want to hear. So, yes, thank you.
Well, no problem. Okay, my point, I'm a 58-year-old diehard Mets, Giants, Knicks, and Rangers, and I've learned... I was at the 86 Game 6 World Series, and if you could win that, I'd learn to never give up in anything, no matter how bad it looks in these games. You know, the Mets give you some moments. But, Boom, my question for you is, and now that they won, I can say this, I kind of feel like the best thing that could have happened was Diaz blowing that and Lindor – you know, hitting that home run, because I think a lot of teams fold after that Diaz mess up. I mean, we're coming back from that. I don't know. I think
the Mets are used to him blowing a lead, actually.
But
this team is different. This team this year has been different. You know, they have come back in a lot of games, And, you know, they do have a certain personality trait that I think we all admire and have admired, especially the second half of the season. Because, you know, when they started out 0-5, everybody was, we were all over them. I mean, we were all over the malaise and everything else that was going on. And there were all sorts of things that were happening around the team.
Threw his glove.
Right. We had the guy throwing his glove into the stands.
So, yeah, it's the worst team in the league.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, all this crazy stuff. And I do remember just saying, like, they got to get back to 500. They just got to get back to 500. Mm-hmm. And once they get back to 500, then they could start feeling like their season's starting again. And, you know, and to their credit, they did. They fought back, and they won a lot of comeback games. Maybe that's why so many people were crying yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I in this business, a lot of people do this. We actually make fun of it with the, this is the biggest, this is the best, and it's usually like a recency bias thing. But I really did think about it. And this probably, in my lifetime.
In your lifetime.
Obviously not okay. 69 Miracle Mets.
Or, right, right.
In my lifetime, this is the single most unexpected season that they have ever had.
I would agree with that.
And that's even more so than 2015. Even more so. And I felt like there was a difference in 2015 where when they go out and get Cespedes, they make a deal at the trade deadline and got a big player. They were scuffling, but they were still sort of around 500. This, I thought they were completely done. And I didn't think they'd ever get back to 500. Much less be five games worse than the New York Yankees, who got the one seed. I mean, to go from that to almost 90 wins?
But the other thing, too, you have to remember, this also comes off of the heels of having Scherzer and Verlander here and paying those guys all that money to do nothing.
And in the offseason, you know, I felt like it was more of a reset year. Like, all right, we're going to take a guy like Manaea, try to get him going. We're going to take a guy like Severino, get him going. We're not going to go after the big free agent. You know, we're going to get rid of the payroll. Like that, I just thought it was like a toss-away type of year for them to reset the organization. So that's why, to me, this was as unexpected as any season.
But remember, you know, they have some good young players.
Oh, of course,
they have some good young players that they have. And a couple of those guys, like Mark Vientos, came through. And, of course, Nimmo came through yesterday after having an up-and-down year. Let's go to Johnny and Wantagh. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer Gio, how you doing?
How you doing, Johnny?
All right. Hey, Boom Daddy, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to make meatballs here, but last week, Sean Marash made a prediction on the Evans show saying that the most important Met game of the year that you would be playing golf.
And he's right. I was at a charity golf tournament trying to help the children. Is that okay?
I know, but how does that make... No, it's okay with me, but how does that make you feel that he's always in your business like that?
Ah, guy's a pain in the ass. But I got to tell you, I was watching the game. I was all over it. I was texting while I'm playing golf with Ron Darling, with Jerry Recco. I'm actually putting for an eagle. Imagine this, golfers out there.
Putting for an eagle.
Boom Daddy's on the golf course. And he's getting ready to play as I speak about myself in the third person. And he's getting ready to, you know, putt a eagle putt.
Yeah.
One-handed, by the way, while I'm holding the phone watching the meltdown of Diaz. And right after I make the eagle putt, I just absolutely start hammering Ron Darling.
Ron Darling.
No.
And this is another one of the examples about, like, fans and stuff and responsibilities. I mean, this day was supposed to be an open day.
Yes.
You made this commitment a while ago. If you had bailed on a charity golf tournament,
for the children,
as a celebrity, right. That's supposed to be there, and people expected you to be there because you had to concentrate more on the Mets game, that makes you look like a complete flake.
I wasn't really like, there were a couple other people there of notoriety, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't like they had like 50 celebrity golfers there or anything. We were just, and I was doing a favor because somebody did a favor for me.
Yeah.
I was reciprocating the favor.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out great because it was a beautiful day. That golf course is awesome. We're going back to play, by the way.
Nice.
And I have to say that because our buddy Joe G happens to be a member there.
Yeah, I know. I think he forgot that he was.
Yeah, I had to remind him. So I'm like, we're going back.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going back. So I was watching. I was all locked in. I knew what was going on. So I don't need to hear it from the people in the afternoon.
There you go.
Whatever show that is.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I was looking for Ja Rule yesterday to say holla.
Yeah.
what wasn't happening?
Yeah, I missed his flight. Oh, God, that bummed me out when I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, bummed me out too, man.
Oh, could have had such a great photo and story, but oh well, whatever.
You know what's also annoying is that Phil Simms backed out on us.
Well, Phil, did Phil Simms back out on us, or Phil Simms, I mean, he double booked us without knowing that he was supposed to be somewhere else. That's what happened.
So now we just got to figure out another day where Jerry is not working on a Sunday, and the Giants, I guess, are away, because I think Phil, I guess, goes to Giant home games now.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to do it without Jerry.
I don't know that Jerry's making it.
Jerry can make it.
I don't know that he
can. Come on, Jerry.
I don't know that I have a free Sunday. That was the free Sunday,
Yep.
Which might not be free either anymore.
Why is that?
Well, I know there is a possibility that I could be doing a game for Compass Media Networks that day.
Which game?
It could be Giants-Eagles. It's possible.
Really?
Yes. Would you be interested?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not Danny White, right? Because
No.
Giants-Eagles.
Compass Media Network, so... Is this a national network broadcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested, Jerry.
Oh, you weren't talking to me. Oh, okay.
I have the 20th open because I saved it to go to Phil Simms' house. Mm. Pay me, bitch.
Maybe me, you, and Simms.
No. If you're doing it.
I don't know that I'm doing it. I know it's out there right now. So I was talking to them yesterday.
You know, if I can get it paid for it, I'm all for it. Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll do it with you. All he has to do is make a donation to the foundation. Then that's pay me anything.
All right. I will pass that along.
So Jerry and Boomer doing a game.
Potentially. Yes.
Look at that.
Eagles, I don't know Giants, that the game Saquon is. Barkley. I don't know that the game is locked up yet, but if it is, I will find out.
Barkley.
Wow.
Coming back to MetLife Stadium.
That's going to be great. Am I going to be able to listen to that?
Can Gio be the sideline reporter?
I don't know.
Did it for Pitt.
I actually have multiple years' experience doing that.
This isn't my call.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Me and Gio, let's go down to Gio on the sideline.
He's standing by with Daniel Jones.
I'm telling you, man.
And you can make Gio's check out to Gio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Geo Foundation. Right. The Geo Belly Foundation.
I say we do it.
Would you
do the sideline?
Of course, but they're not going to ask me to do the sideline.
We don't usually do sidelines.
Oh, we got to do sideline.
Yeah, I've been pitching myself to do sidelines in Dallas for the last 5 years, so I know what you mean.
Okay.
But I will find out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's on you, Jerry.
It's on me. I don't care. Forget about me for a second.
This isn't even locked up yet.
Forget about me. It'd be great if I could do sidelines. But, I mean, just the fact that you guys have a chance to work together on a game like that, I think it's very cool.
It'd be hilarious.
Sounding very possible.
And
Jerry sucks. No, you don't, Jerry.
That wasn't nice.
No, you don't.
Right.
You're great.
Hmm.
The voice of the Eagles and Giants game now.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's a Giants game, too, it's awesome.
How many stations would carry this game?
I have no idea. I could find out.
I need at least about 75.
It might be. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll find out, though.
All right, cool. You got to keep us updated on this
thing. I will keep you updated, yes. Fine.
All right, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. All right, so some sounds from Howie Rose in this Mets Game 1 win yesterday. We've played the Lindor home run over and over. Here is the Brandon Nimmo home run that we kind of thought was going to set the Mets into the postseason.
The 2-1 to Nimmo, driven in the air, deep right field. This baby's on the way. It is gone! The long two-run homer for Brandon Nimmo. It's a six-run eighth inning. The Mets are leading by a score of 6-3.
And that was Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio. Then you would get the big inning by the Braves and then the big home run from Francisco Lindor setting up the final out.
So White walks his lead off of second. Outfield a step towards right against the right-hand hitter D'Arnaud. Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
And that was, again, Howie.
Start whacking it.
Oh.
You know, I will say a couple times Diaz threw some I thought were strikes, and he wasn't getting the calls.
Yeah, that box.
Yes, I know. If you go by the box.
Go by the box.
Go by the box.
Yeah, right before what's-his-face's single.
Yeah.
In the bottom of the ninth. It should have been strike three.
It was the guy White, right?
Yeah, White. Ended up right before base. White's single, yep.
Live by the box, die by the box. And that's what we saw yesterday. So 8-7 would be the final score. Here was Francisco Lindor on SNY talking about his ninth inning home run and the at-bat.
Well, I wanted to get a good pitch to hit and do exactly what Marte did, pass the baton. My guy Iglesias has been probably the best clutch hitter in the game this year. So I wasn't trying to do too much. I was just trying to get Iglesias driving another run. And it worked out, and I hit it up in the air.
Oh, it worked out all right. Here he was talking about what the win means.
We took one step closer to where we want to be. That's exactly how it feels. We're on a mission, and we understand what the goal is.
And the goal is more than what they've accomplished. By the way, I saw yesterday, I didn't realize this. I know Alonso played every day, but he played all 162 this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's when they were... I didn't realize it either until the second game started, and I was still watching for some reason. And Gary said that when he was announcing the lineup, because I don't know if he's going to play the entire game, but... he's going to play a full complement, 162.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, that means something, and that's something that should be taken into account, even though he had what would be considered a less than...
100%.
I guess
was less than an Alonso expected. Year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Here was Tyrone Taylor, played a big part in this game, talking about Lindor.
It definitely speaks to the leader and the person that he is, man. He's a dog. When he's up to bat, he's going to give it his all every time. In our eyes, he's a unanimous MVP, man. He's amazing.
So I always say, man, we got dudes, dogs who do damage.
I did see Tommy's post about people mocking him, people unfollowing him, but in the end, he was right.
Yeah, positive Tommy was
why
right.
Why were people unfollowing him?
Probably he's annoying.
He is. I mean,
well, no, I know, but that's probably why. If you're a Yankee fan, it probably got annoying. So you
I noticed that
him.
He talks so fast.
Always has.
Yeah, him and Morash, when they're going back and forth to each other, it's like, it sounds like an auction.
Yeah, when Tommy does the Loogie Hour or whatever, it's the Loogie Hour or whatever, he talks so fast.
Yeah, I know.
Got a lot to say.
He's a dude. He's a dog. And he does that.
Well, he only has an hour, so he's got to fit in 4 hours worth of words into 1 hour.
This is why I'm the future.
Here was speaking of the future. Steve Cohen, when he took over the team, looked into the future, and he was joking with a reporter yesterday after the games.
If you win the World Series, you'll hit that 3 to 5 year window.
You know something? If I hit that, I mean, that's I say, guys, one I'd like back, but if I pull it off, that would be great.
Anyway, well, they're a long ways away from that.
If they actually pull that off, he's getting a downstate license.
How about they start with beating the Brewers in game one?
Yeah. Tonight at 5:32.
That's exactly right. Luis Severino, Freddy Peralta, the starters. Atlanta did win the second game, so they go to San Diego. Do you want to hear, because I know people sent us all these clips.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear some of the Russo
stuff from yesterday.
Live on the air when this was going on. Sure.
So I got a few for you. And then, of course, I've got him screwing up another word. This was on Sirius XM during his radio show reacting to the Brandon Nimmo home run.
And did he just hit a home run? Is that Jesse? That is Nimmo. And he just hit the ball out of the ballpark in the upper deck and right. And the Mets now have a 6-3 lead. A 6-1 outburst in the top of the eighth inning.
All right. All good, right? So he actually sounds excited for the Mets. Listen, though, at the end of this one. So this is the Ozzie Albies three-run double. Notice it's almost as if he has turned his attention to the second part of the doubleheader.
The Mets, who had a 6-1 eighth inning, bring Diaz in, and Diaz gives it up. Back to back to back to back. And now all of a sudden the Mets, oh my goodness, how they bounce back in a game two scenario will be fascinating. And Iglesias now can close it.
Yep, already moved on.
That is that's the Cardinal sin, man. You can't do that.
And everybody listening to him is going, if I cared about this game, I'd be watching it.
That's true.
Talk about college football or something,
that's a
man.
Very good point. So I also have the Lindor home run, but that's good. And then here's another Russoism as he missays a word. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers here and the Jets, and you tell me what you notice.
With Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's 40 years old, but, and you know, at the end of the game looked a little disheveled and hobbled.
Disheveled, bewitched, and bewinkled.
Bewildered.
Bewinkled.
He's very, very disheveled. I haven't seen him that disheveled. Since he got hurt, Green Bay hurt his shoulder. Remember that? That beshevelment out there that year? His thumb, that was another beshevelment. I mean, jeez. Usually he's a good-looking, coiffed guy, and then he's walking off the field, towel on his head, besheveled.
And then from that point on, they brought the filibators. What is it called? The filibation units?
Yes, the filibation unit. I got it now. I'm sorry, everybody. I thought it was the filibator. It's the filibation units. So they brought those out there. Didn't have to use it. Did a little PRC. You know, where they pound on the chest. It's not that. So, CPR, excuse me. Filibation units. You know, the things on the wall you never use.
We're not going to authenticize it if you do. So if you don't have the ball stamped with the authentic seal.
Oh, my God. He needs a new tongue.
Maybe he's the one with the big tongue.
Oh, man.
Coerced into it.
I just quickly, because I want to do something else football-wise. The Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29. The Titans beat the Dolphins 31-12. That puts a wrap on week four, week five, Thursday, Bucks-Falcons. But speaking of the Falcons, I didn't play this yesterday, and there's a reason why. This was Falcons radio as they beat the Saints, specifically on a game winner.
Snap spot. Kick from Koo is away. And it is good!
All right, so that was like from 50-something yards. That was a big one. That was Falcons radio. When there are big games, big plays, and big moments, the Nightcap podcast with Shannon and Ocho, they like to discuss things. So Deion Sanders is a guest on their podcast as Shannon, very innocently, brings up this play.
Young Hoku kicks the Falcons to a win over the Saints. Young Hoku?
No, you ain't what you said, dog.
What'd I say?
I said Young Hoku. No, you can't. That's not their name.
That is what's his name.
Who you talking about?
The kicker for the Falcons.
What's the name?
Young Way or Young Ho?
So then Chad chimes in.
You said Young Ho.
That's what he said, didn't he?
Hold on. Listen to me. Hold on. Okay.
You having flashbacks.
Okay.
No. That is his name.
It's Young Way is how it's pronounced.
But people call him Young Hoku.
Because that's how it looks.
Right. So yesterday I was laughing. I was showing the guys. So it was just a picture of Young Hoku. And it was a post on X. Just a picture of Young Hoku. And the caption was, "My old ho boring, but oh, Jesus. My Young Hoku."
God.
Yeah, we're just the worst. Yeah. We really are. These things make us. Yeah. I love Deion just all of a sudden wakes up. Like, what'd you say? You said Young Ho? That ain't what you said.
Oh, man. That was funny.
Good shit.
Young Whale, Young Ho.
He was lost.
Let's just call him Skip.
Oh, man. There was next hour. I'll try and fit some of these in. Media day around much of the NBA. Some of it was the other day, but a lot yesterday, including the Knicks and the Nets. We also got sad information, and we found out that Dikembe Mutombo died from brain cancer at the age of 58, and Pete Rose passed away as well, which I saw. Eduardo Perez actually broke the news on SportsCenter. I guess his dad texted him after talking to Pete's kid. So, you know, horrible news, but both of them passing away yesterday.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I heard Sal and BT talking about this yesterday before the game started.
Yeah.
So you know how Barrett Sports Media is a thing? It's a website that covers our industry.
Yes.
So they did a Tiki and Evan feature on Barrett Sports Media. So Sal brought up these lines to BT, and this is truly amazing. So I think that they work together. I'm going to preface this by saying I think BT and Tiki worked together for a decade.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
For 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years, yes.
All right. So this is from the Barrett Sports Media article. Someone said something about a Jets-Yankees fan, Barber said. Roberts responded, yeah, they exist. Barber continued, I thought there's no way that exists. Roberts jumped in and said, yeah, my former producer of the Midday Show, Ernie Acosta, a legitimate Jets-Yankees fan. Barber asked, how does that happen? And Roberts pointed out that Lugie is a Mets-Giants fan, to which Barber says there's a lot of Jets, Giants-Mets fans. And you don't think there's a lot of Jets-Yankees fans, asked Roberts? Barber simply said no. He sat next to Brandon Tierney for a decade.
Didn't mean he listened to him.
I mean, that is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
That didn't enter... Ernie Acosta gets referenced in here, and neither Evan, Tiki, or any of those guys think to say BT. If I'm BT, I am, that chaps my ass. I got to be honest with you. I'd be like, wait a second. I worked with you 10 years. You know nothing about me? Like, if someone came up to you and was like, you know, I've never seen anybody root for the Minnesota Vikings and St. John's basketball and the New York Mets, you'd be like, wow.
My partner, that's what you would say. He does. He's a Vikings Mets fan.
Yes.
And a St. John's fan.
Yeah, he loves St. John's.
That's what you would say.
Yeah, because your mom used to take you to St. John's game.
And she went to St. John's, yeah.
Yes.
Boo Harvey. So you would automatically.
100%. I got you.
So what's going on there?
And then I would also say that I even worked with a guy that's a Mets fan for Yankees.
Right. You've got all of that, too.
I got all of that, too. I got it down because, you know what, because I'm paying attention. I'm listening to the people I'm working with.
And you worked with Craig for 10 years?
Yes.
Like Tiki and Tierney worked together for 10 years?
Clown yeah. Show.
Craig was a huge Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Ranger fan, but not, you know, only because, like, you know, a couple family members liked the Rangers. And he liked to go and make like he knew hockey.
Mm.
And he wanted to play hockey. And we did something with the Garden. But he was a huge Mets fan.
Yep.
Hated Philadelphia.
Yep.
And everything about it.
See, I mean, this is perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was even longer ago that you guys worked together than Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah.
So, honestly, you're Brandon, you read that. You get a little upset?
Yeah, I think I'm a little hurt by the fact that Tiki didn't, like, pay attention when he worked with me.
No way that exists, a Yankee and Jet fan.
There's no way.
And Brandon's not, like, a guy who's, like, quiet about those things.
No, he doesn't hide it at all. I mean, like, remember when Zach took over last year for an injured Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
yeah. Playoffs with Zach!
I mean,
I have Zach's back.
Zach's back.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Intense. And by the way, it's not like Brandon has disappeared either. If Brandon does the show before Tiki, you know, when Tiki's on his way in, you could probably hear Yankees, Jets.
Let me explain something to you. Brandon can never disappear.
I know. He's just always, presence is always there. So it was shocking to me. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah, and I know you, how, like, you get the scuttlebutt around here.
So, well, it was not. This was on the air.
Yeah, I know this was on the air. But what I'm saying is that internally, you understand the inner workings and the politics and the relationships around here better than anybody I've ever worked with.
Right.
Craig never knew any of that.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, because Craig hadn't been here as long as you have been here, and Craig didn't do all the things that you did before you got this job.
It's like someone coming up to you and saying, oh, here we go. Here we go. Come on. We got your back here.
Yeah, we got your back, Biggs. Oh, okay. We got you 100%.
So how could Tiki say that he doesn't think a Yankees Jets fan exists?
I have no idea.
That is so that wrong. I hope you're upset.
No, I'm not upset.
No, you have
but
to.
But that's Teak. That's Teak.
What do you mean that's Teak? Are we totally ignoring a guy he worked with for a decade?
No. Tiki, just for a smart guy, he forgets basic things. I don't know how else to say it. I sat next to you for 10 years, buddy. What do you want me to do?
Maybe it's because he played football and he's showing signs of CTE. No. Is that what you're saying?
I still think he's a huge... He's not a fan like we are.
But, right.
And but, I don't think that stuff resonates
with you. But you are, though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
he worked with you for 10 years.
And it's not like... You want me to too, man.
Not like you're a guy that's like, yeah, you know, I kind of like the Jets. I kind of like... I mean, you're in our faces about the fandom. That's your thing.
You know all about Tiki's statistics when he was with the Giants or running back.
Yeah, I know.
All of his exploits on the field.
I know that they won the Super Bowl the year after he retired. Yeah, I know all the stats.
Oh, here we go.
Just teasing.
All right, yeah.
By
the way, Sal brought this up yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we're talking about it.
I know you guys are messing around. He is a smart guy. But for such a smart guy, he's lost sometimes with basic stuff. I don't get it.
Yeah, and you work for him for 10 years, so you would know.
Yeah, that's all good. I love Tiki.
And he tweeted out yesterday, too. I don't know if you saw. He goes, Yankees Jets fan over here.
Or waving the hand emoji over here.
I didn't see that.
10 years, buddy. Both of my kids were born while we were working together.
Come on, Tiki. Wake up, buddy. I even know the guy that you work with is an Atlanta Falcon fan.
I know.
I know that.
You know. What do you want me to say?
I don't know, man. I think you got to have words with him.
Scuttlebutt. I love the guy. He's just a different cat.
Does he remember you guys worked with Dana Jacobson?
I don't know. I don't know what he remembers. I think he thinks he's a Jet. Did you see that ridiculous picture hanging up in our studio?
No, I haven't.
In a Jets uniform?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's odd. Wow. I don't know why it is
odd.
Next to the A-Rod Day banner, which is also a little odd.
A little odd. You know what I'm sensing here?
What I'm sensing?
Schism.
Schism. Definitely
no,
schism.
No.
Schism spot. 100%
Boomer
schism
loves the schism.
It's his favorite word in the world.
You do. I haven't seen you guys in a while, by the way.
Yeah.
Playing golf again today? Letting everybody know how you're shooting?
Not today. Tomorrow, though.
Oh.
Yes, tomorrow's a special one.
Big day tomorrow.
I'm taking him to a very special place.
Very special place, yeah.
Okay, which one?
So much so I'm getting a lesson today.
Are you really? That's the worst thing to do. That's the last thing
He knows. He knows. I was playing really well in the middle of the summer and have completely fallen off. I need to.
Really?
Are
you in the 90s? Like lowish mid
90s?
What's your best round so far?
It was 92.
Nice.
So it was, and now it's gone the other direction.
Jason, my caddy yesterday was a great caddy over at Waikiko. I was telling you because everybody asked me about your golf game.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
And I said, well, you know, he kind of hit the wall. And then he started, like, I've never heard a ball come off of a driver. Like, it was coming off of his driver. It sounded like he was hitting a wiffle ball.
So
we were playing around, and I said to my buddy, I said, can you please hit his driver to make sure it's not cracked?
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
So my buddy gets up there, slaps his ball. 300 down the middle. Yeah, he goes, the driver's fine.
Well, what was going on?
I have no idea. I could not explain it.
Well, I don't know why I'm doing it, but what's going on is the club face is so open at impact that I'm hitting it off the hosel.
Oh, the hosel.
And on the driver, it makes a sound like
So Jason, the caddy yesterday goes, this is like everybody else. You get into golf, you get a little bit, you're going right, you're feeling good about your game, then all of a sudden you're going to hit a wall.
Yeah, it's been bad.
Right.
Can I just bring this back full circle for one sec? So, I know that you realize it, but I hope you really realize how good this guy is to you. My old partner doesn't even know what teams I rooted for. This guy's bringing you to courses, getting you lessons. What did he? What was that beer thing that he gave you today?
Oh, right here.
I wanted to actually look at this thing.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, this guy hooks you up.
Am I not anything? Very appreciative?
Oh, he is. He's great.
Homer's the best.
Yeah,
very
but Joe,
appreciative. Never take anything for granted.
All started when we went to the Monday night games.
Yeah, that's right.
That was years ago. Before we were working together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He took me to a Monday night game. It was a great story. I was producing Joe and Evan. I was wearing a Steve Hutchinson jersey.
The offensive lineman, right?
For the Vikings. Yeah. And it was actually Aaron Rodgers' first start as a Green Bay Packer.
Oh my God, Monday night football.
Wow. Yeah, Monday night football. And I was in Chernoff's office with Joe and Evan. And Boomer comes in eating some sort of cookie. And he looks at me. And it's Vikings Packers Monday night. And he goes, "You want to go?" And I'm like, "Go where?"
"Third game."
I'm like, "What do you mean the game?" It's at Lambeau Field. He's like, "Yeah, I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to the game after the show." So after your show, I had to do 10 to 2. So then Chernoff goes, "No, he's got to produce the show. What do you mean? Who's going to produce the show? Dolph can't do it." So then Beningo, to his credit, goes, "Mark, are you effing kidding me?
Oh, really?
He's going to take this guy to Lambeau Field to watch his team play. And you're going to say no? He has to answer the phones here? Are you kidding me?" And Chernoff,
I got to say, Joe took care of him. Joe basically said, "Really? You are going."
Right, so
next thing you know, I was
in Boomer's car on the way to Teterboro.
Wow. Yeah. On the Boomer chopper.
Well, yeah.
Well, it was private jet action.
Whatever, you know, nice. Whatever it was back then, yeah.
Yeah. But that was the only way to get back.
Yeah.
And my old partner thinks I'm rooting for the Mets.
Exactly.
There you go.
I don't know.
That's why Boomer's the captain of the fan.
You got a problem.
He's the captain.
You got a problem.
Nah, I love Teague. I'm just messing around. But that was weird.
It's strange.
I mean that was weird.
That's why we brought it up.
No other way to bring it.
We felt like Teague needed to be called out.
Come on, Teague. Wake up, buddy. All right, guys.
BT, great seeing you.
Hey, glad to see you in all sincerity.
Yeah, absolutely.
What an awesome ride, man. I'm glad for you guys. Happy for you guys.
Listen, hopefully it doesn't end quick. But
I thought you said you don't like to get congratulations when you're.
Oh, did he say that? Did he say congratulations?
Yeah,
he just said it.
I just said congratulations.
Oh, sorry. I was talking. Congratulations.
Is this some weird thing? You can't congratulate people when something good happens?
That's the whole thing that happens.
You guys will get out of here.
You're right.
I take it back, all right?
You can't congratulate the fans. You could say, "I feel good for you guys." You can't congratulate the fans.
All right, well,
we didn't do the whole thing this morning.
I missed that part. Enjoy the ride, boys. How's that, all right?
Perfect.
See you later.
Sounds good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.